is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, The Prodigal Son. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Glenn Campbell with Show Me Your Way, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
When I find myself in sadness and fear of all to which I tread, I climb the stairs of gladness and face the light of God instead. As I wander through the darkness, I search for all that's truth and right, to walk the paths of glory and see the lamp of God's true light. Show me your way, O Lord, and let me sing all praise to Thee. Take my heart, your love to show me. As I feel the world awaken,
the wonder of your gentle hand
will touch all hearts arising and change the empty course of man.
But there's one thing about a pig. He loves to stay in filth. You pull him out of the pig pen, and there's all that, where they've been wallowing and all that mud and everything. He can't wait to get back in. He loves to wallow in it, get as dirty and filthy as can be. That's his nature. Now you take a sheep, and I understand that sheep are very clean. That's why that's why you can see their white, you know, fur on their body. They're very clean. And they say that if you take one a sheep up to a pig pen, they'll do anything to avoid that mud. They don't want to be in that mud. They'll stay away from it. That just shows God gives every living thing a certain nature. Now, he evidently didn't mean for people to live like pigs. But this young man had to. He was right there feeding the pigs. Filthy. Dirty. It says on verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave it unto him. They gave the husk of, what is it, oats or rice or whatever, gave that to the pigs to eat. That's worthy of the pigs. And he would have eaten that. He was hungry, but no one would even give him that. So evidently this friend, a citizen of the country, who sent him into the fields to feed the swine, he didn't even give him any food to eat. He gave his pigs to eat, but he didn't even give him to eat. Not much of a friend, is it? You look at the world today, and there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people would cheat you. You give them an honest day's work, and they'd just cheat you. They'd say, well, I'm not going to give you that much. If you don't want to take what I'm going to give you, that's just too bad. I know there's a lot of honest people out there too, but there's a few that are just, well, they're just dishonest. No man would give it to him. Things were bad in the country, in that particular country. Things were bad. And listen to verse 17. This is a big, big verse. There he was, starving to death. Among the pigs, filthy. Spent all his money. Probably embarrassed, shameful at what he had done. And it says this in verse 17, and this is, I read this over and over and over because it struck me that this is what happens when a person comes to know God. When you're down in the deep in the valley, when you don't feel like you don't have a friend, well, maybe you don't have a job, maybe your loved one is hurt, maybe you don't even have a loved one. You say, well, what am I going to do? Where can I go? Or maybe your health is bad. Whatever your situation is, you're in a real pickle. And here we read, listen to this, verse 17 reads, and when he came to himself, oh boy, oh my, there he was in the, feeling like he was in the pit of hell, hungry, dirty. There's no partying now. There's no riotous living anymore. Where was he going to go? He could have killed himself. Well, that wouldn't have helped him any. No. And when he came to himself. Oh, my. Have you ever had a point in your life like that? And you came to yourself? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means he woke up. He was awakened. The awakening came. He discovered what life was really all about. He discovered what he needed to do. He discovered who alone could help him in all the world. Who alone was willing to help him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired
servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.
He came to himself and he says, even my father's servants have food to eat, but I don't have any. I'm perishing. I'm starving.
Verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Ah, yes.
He came to himself. Think about that. There was a moment in my life when I guess a lot of people thought, well, Tex has it pretty good. He's a pretty nice looking boy. Pretty athletic, makes pretty good grades in school, a lot of girlfriends like him. But there was some emptiness in my life. There was an emptiness and a struggling to find God. And eventually I just got at the edge of my bed and I said, Lord Jesus, I know you're real and I want you in my life. And he came in my life. Has it ever happened to you?
I hope it has. I pray it has. So he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
He admits he sinned before the Father. He sinned against the Father. And even the whole host of heaven, evidently. He felt guilt. He knew he needed to repent. Now, I think before that point, you're not ready. Until you realize you've sinned against God and against heaven, you're not ready. You're really not. I mean, you're not going to go from wealth and contentment and happiness and all the houses and the jewelry and the fur coats and all these things direct to God. I think God makes people. He sends desperation into their life. Now, I'm not saying they're starving or they don't have a place to live, there's an emptiness in their life, a hollowness. And I believe it's sent by God. Because we think, you see, man thinks he's smarter than God. We think we can fulfill ourselves with things. And I'm getting a little bit old here, approaching 74, and you know, I realize no matter what I have, it's not enough. It's not going to do me. And when I die, I can't take it with me. I can't even take my family with me. I came to this world without a family, and I'm leaving without one. Think about that. I was speaking with a man, and I asked him, wouldn't you come to know Jesus? Wouldn't you give your life to him? He says, well, my whole family's against that. You know, my sisters and brother, they probably laugh at me. My mom and dad, they're not Christians. And so it all depends on your family then. Well, yeah, really? But when you leave this world, are you going to take your family with you? No. When you were born as a little baby, you were all alone. You were thankful that your mom took care of you and such, but basically you were alone in the world. You only have yourself, my friends. And God doesn't say, if your family approves, I'll take you. Does he? In fact, God says, if you depend on your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, I won't have you. Whoa. Did you know that? It's all up to us personally. We have a personal relationship, if we have one, with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter about your mom or your dad or whatever. Let them go on. You don't want them to, but maybe you'll be a good example for them and they'll learn. They'll discover.
Okay, let's continue here. I will rise and go to the Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned and against heaven and before thee.
So he knew his son knew what he was doing. Or his father, excuse me. He knew the father. Knew what he was doing. You know, I read one time Glenn Campbell, the country singer, you know, the rhinestone cowboy and all that, Galveston, always liked his singing. Well, when he was young, he was pretty wild, really wild. Had this other country gal singer, and they were into doing terrible things. He went home for a visit. You know, we get through family reunion. He went back home to Arkansas, and his mom and dad were there, and his mom could see he had long hair, and he was, his eyes sort of, he was taking drugs. His mom could see he'd certainly changed since he'd gone to that country music. Now, she could have said, oh, and it's great. It's wonderful that the whole world loves you and you have these number one hit songs. Oh, you're a great son. But she said something else. Glenn Campbell said, my mom got me aside, took me into the kitchen. And she said something to me. She said, son, you're not doing right. Son, you're not doing right. Well, that's all it took. Because he wasn't living the life he should have. Oh, he was rich. He could buy anything. And probably had 1,000 gals it would take him. He could have bought a whole whiskey company if he wanted it. But when his mom said, son, you're not doing right. Boy, he said, this is his own testimony. He said, that cut me to the bone. That cut me deep. Because he knew he wasn't.
So he goes to the Father. Verse 19 says, he says to the Father, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against everything you meant for me to have. I've taken and wasted. And now he said, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Well, now, let's look at it from the Father's standpoint. Father could have said, that's right. You learned, didn't you? That's right. You wasted all that money. Well, I'm going to make you one of my hired servants. You're going to learn. You're going to find out what you're going to get. He could have sent him down to the servants' quarters. He could have called the chief servant and said, work this boy out. He wants food, we'll give him food, but work him every day. 12 hours, 14 hours a day. A lot of fathers would do that. I mean, this son wasted all that money. It must have been a lot of money. He only had two sons. You know he would have given each one equally, but this one, he took it and wasted it. And now here he says, Father, forgive me. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your servants. Well, now, what did the Father do? Let's read verse 22. But the Father said to his servant, I just get caught up in this story. I really do. But the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Didn't he have any more shoes, you see? But the Father told the servants, bring the best robe, and put it on him. Don't even make him put his own robe on. Put it on him like he's a king. I mean, he's, wow. He's somebody all of a sudden.
And put a ring. That was a sign of great wealth. Put a ring on him. He doesn't have to put his own ring on. You put that ring on him. And put shoes on his feet.
And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry.
Bring the calf you've been, you know, the one that you, you know, you really feed him right and everything. And then when, you know, you have a big festival, big feast. Well, this is it. This is the time for the feast, said the father. Let's have fun. Let's rejoice. Well, now when I became a Christian, I rejoiced in my soul. I really did. I was happy. And I understand that they rejoice in heaven. Every time a person comes to Jesus Christ, when he comes to himself, and Jesus accepts him, when he comes to himself, they rejoice and have a celebration in heaven. I suspect when you, if you're a Christian, when you became a Christian, you didn't know it, but they rejoiced in heaven. You say, well, I didn't really deserve it. Neither did this man. Well, they should have beat me. They should have just thrown me in a prison cell. I was so evil. I was so, well, probably this young boy, he probably did some bad things too. I don't know what he did. It doesn't really say, but he could have stolen anything to get food. But the father said, give him, put a ring on his finger. Give him the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice.
For this my son was dead. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
The servants, everybody in the household, man, they were so happy. They rejoiced. There was none there to say, well, you're just a slothful son. You sure are lucky. You're just a dirty person. Your father has favored you, but you shouldn't have all that. No. They were merry. They were happy too. They were rejoicing.
Verse 25.
So you see how the father's attitude was? And you see the son's attitude. He was truly repentant. And he begged forgiveness.
And the father, did he forgive him?
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Verse 25 says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing.
He was probably out working. He was a worker. He had been faithful. He had stayed there all those years. The young son went out and partied and blew all the money, everything he had. But this one stayed home and worked. He was faithful.
And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he, that's the servant, said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.
Your father is, we're celebrating because your father's so happy that your brother has come home. He's come home. And your father is so happy that he's safe and sound. He's not out of the world. He's right home safe and he's sound.
I spoke with a mother just a week ago. She was telling about her daughter, and her daughter had gone out in the world, was leading a wicked life, and she said, I'm so worried about her. She's only 21 years old. She doesn't know. She trusts everybody, and I'm just so worried she's living alone, and she was right to be worried.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.